Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
I asked for close games. I asked for games that mattered in the fourth quarter. I asked for some drama. Just a little bit of drama, please. And boy, has the NBA responded. Woo! Consider this. Houston Rockets, when we started the work week, I can remember oh so well. It's very clear in my brain, in my mind, because I was just coming back off vacation. And my show on Sunday night, going into Monday morning, was about how the Rockets got obliterated. 41 points. 41 points is how bad they lost on Sunday. I don't even know how many of you bothered to watch the end of that game. Houston lost 126-85. That was the final score on Sunday in Game 3. And what was the narrative? What was the rhetoric? What was the reaction / overreaction? That's it. It's over. They're done. It's going to be Warriors yet again. Oh, and to boot, this is the real NBA Finals. So whoever comes out of the East, well, is going to lose. But it's going to be the Warriors. They're going to win again. It's a foregone conclusion. It's going to be LeBron and Steph, and it's going to be the two teams who've been there the previous three Junes.
Is over.
Dear Lord. Do people ever admit that they're wrong? Do you think people ever learn to not overreact when a series isn't actually done, when a game isn't actually done? I'm going to go back to what Trevor Ariza said. Whether you lose by two or you lose by 200, it's still just one loss. Oh, truer words not spoken in this NBA postseason. And now look where we are. Fumbling, bumbling, stumbling their way through a pair of fourth quarters, the Golden State Warriors have now dropped back-to-back games for the first time in the postseason since, what, the NBA Finals of 2016? Since they lost in Game 7 to the Cavaliers? And it's the Houston Rockets who are one win away from advancing for the first time since, was it 95? Don't quote me on that. I'll have to look. But it's been a while. It's been a couple decades. Gosh. People ask me why I don't make predictions. Well, A, because I think it takes a lot of the fun out of it if you pretend like you know what's going to happen. I'd rather be surprised. And B, I have no idea what's going to happen, just like you have no idea what's going to happen. Oh, how things change in the week since I returned from a sure thing, unbeatable, invincible to rut-row. What do we have here? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. Our final show of the work week, which isn't a bad thing. Everyone needs a breather. Plus, for many of you going into a holiday weekend, we will be here Sunday night, Monday night, so the Memorial Day weekend doesn't affect our schedule. But maybe you are already taking off on the unofficial start to summer and a long weekend. I tell you what, there was a ton of extra traffic on the highway. So I know, and a lot of out-of-state license plates as I was coming into New York City tonight. I was on the Jersey Turnpike until I made the turn into the Lincoln Tunnel. And there were a lot of license plates from, say, New England and parts north. People heading to the beach, getting out of town and getting an early start on the long weekend. So if that's you and you're driving, we're thrilled that you've tuned in. Otherwise, if you are locked into your regular routine, churning your way toward Friday, well, then we're along with you then, too. We're inside the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. No, I don't expect you to admit that you got it all wrong. It's fine. Nobody knows who you are anyway. You're in complete obscurity. But you may want to go back and delete those tweets in which you made guarantees about how this series would be over in five and the Warriors would be advancing to the NBA Finals. The fun of it is to watch the ebbs and flows. And this was probably the best game of the conference finals so far. Not that they haven't all had drama. They haven't all had fun twists and turns. And really, from game to game, you don't know exactly what's going to happen, whether we're talking East or West. But this was a battle. And I mean a battle. It was ugly. It was gritty. It was gutty. It was bloody. It took no prisoners. And we got everything we wanted. This was, in my opinion, the perfect NBA playoff game with tension, intensity, those gut check moments, all the drama, of course, the big plays, both offense and defense. But what more could you want from an NBA playoff game? Had everything. It had a really ugly start, actually. I don't know if you guys remember that the Warriors only had a dozen points at home in the fourth quarter of game number four. And they kind of picked up right where they left off. It was early mistakes. It was early turnovers. And it was ugly shots. And so the Warriors' offense, to me, has not looked comfortable now for five quarters. For the last five quarters. So the end of game four and pretty much all of game five. There wasn't a time when I felt like their offense really clicked and settled into a groove. Yeah, you had KD hitting a few shots here or there, though he didn't shoot well. You had a bunch of clangs off the rim, as a matter of fact. You got a big shot here from Klay and a big shot here from Steph or a drive from either one of them. But there wasn't a whole lot of production outside of those three. Draymond had a double-double. He had a couple of big buckets in the final minute and a half or so when the Warriors were attempting to change the ending. But honestly, one major factor in this game, both benches have become a lot shorter. Steve Kerr tried to use different bodies today without Andre Iguodala for a second straight game. He tried some other combinations, and it's not as though there was a major drop-off. He did get some production from David West or some big minutes from David West, but not points. And so without Andre Iguodala, who not only is a great one-on-one defender, but a fierce rebounder and can score, will drive to the hoop, there were only 4 points off the bench for the Warriors. So no Iguodala and only 4 points off the bench. Meanwhile, the Rockets, who have tightened up their rotation as well and only used 7 players again tonight, or 6.5, as Craig Ackerman said to us following game four, because Gerald Green just plays a handful of minutes. With the benches getting shorter, the Rockets got a massive performance from Eric Gordon. Now, he didn't shoot great from downtown. And if you remember, in game four, he only hit 1 3. It just happened to be a huge one late. But he was really good from the free throw line, and he gave them 36 minutes. So Clint Capella had a double-double when he was out there and a couple of big block shots. But when they were looking for production, Eric Gordon stepped up, stepped into it. And so one major factor in this victory for the Rockets, as ugly as it was at times, was the fact that the Rockets outscored the Warriors' bench production, 33-4. And that's not something we've seen from the Warriors very often over the last couple of years. Generally, they've been able to go to that second unit and, if not extend a lead, at least maintain. But you can tell that Steve Kerr doesn't trust that bench a whole lot. He's trying. It's just not working. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Before we get to some of the big moments that I'll remember from this game. I wanted you to hear what Coach Kerr had to say. Now, he was really positive after the game. In fact, you're going to hear when we get to some of the other post-reaction, there's real positivity, real confidence, real optimism from the Golden State Warriors, and I certainly get it. There were missed opportunities, a lot of them, in both the fourth quarters of Game 4 and Game 5. They had it. It was right there for the taking, and they just couldn't capitalize. And so there is a lot of optimism. But you also heard from Steve Kerr after the game that this is the worst situation they've been in for quite a while, and yet the spin is, it's fantastic. Steve Kerr,
I think they know that we could have won this game, could have won the last game. I think they're sitting in there and they're angry, as they should be. You know, they're competitors. This is the worst situation we've been in since Kevin's been here, and we're two wins from making the NBA Finals. That's a pretty good worst situation to be in.
I love that perspective. Like Brad Stevens, once the Celtics got, well, they got their rears handed to them in games 3 and 4 in Cleveland. What did he say? This is a blast. We get to grit our teeth and go home and know that it's a best of 3 series. And here's Steve Kerr, who's saying this is the worst situation we've been in since Kevin Durant joined the team. And we're 2 wins from the NBA Finals. So not a bad worst situation to be in. That is classic.
You know, you shake it off.
Now, the big question for the Houston Rockets moving forward will be the health and the hammy of Chris Paul. He had another unbelievably tough game. And by tough, I mean his toughness.
Paul fell down.
His maturity, his craftiness. A little bit of gamesmanship, too, but we'll get to that. Chris Paul was awesome. Just a refuse to back down mentality that really set the tone for his team. So he ends up with 20 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals, and no turnovers. The veteran point guard with no turnovers. None. And in the game in which Chris Harden, it's like a celebrity marriage, a game in which James Harden shot 0 for 11 from downtown. Do you know, just as a side note, he's missed his last 20 three-point shots? Nerd alert. That is a bit nerdy. Also, nearly unbelievable, unfathomable, considering this guy's likely going to earn an MVP award. He's missed 20 three-point shots in a row. And Mike D'Antoni said after, both of these head coaches have great humor. Mike D'Antoni said after, because a reporter asked him if he might potentially, in fact, the reporter's voice kind of trailed off at the end of the question. I almost think he didn't want to ask it. He got embarrassed by the thought. But the reporter was trying to ask, at what point might you revisit giving James Harden a green light? And Mike D'Antoni says he could go over his next 100. Maybe then we'll talk about it, but probably not even then.
Give me a good question, I'll answer.
So good. Sometimes the post game is as much fun as the actual basketball itself. So yeah, here's Steve Kerr saying this is not a bad worst situation to be in, even though they dropped back-to-back games in the Western Conference Finals, including one at home. Mike D'Antoni, hey, this is what it's all about. And they'll have to wait and see on Chris Paul, who appeared to tweak, pull, pop, something, a hammy, inside the final minute, to the point where he couldn't get up the court. He could barely get off the court, as a matter of fact. No, I saw some tweets from reporters like Mark Spears after the game, who said he saw Chris Paul getting into a vehicle once all the locker rooms had emptied out. CP3 was getting into a vehicle, and he looked like he was moving fairly well. And he gave Mark the indication he would be ready for game 6. Now, that was the plan for Andre Iguodala, too, to be ready for game 4, to be ready for game 5. And he hasn't been able to go. This is one of those times where the teams could probably use the 3 days off in between. But that's not happening now. They're going every other day. So will Chris Paul, with the travel and the quick turnaround, 48 hours, be ready for game 6, and what will the Warriors have as an answer? Boy, there's a lot of tape to watch, And there's a lot to sort through. Love to hear from you. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. We'll get into some of the big moments. The ones that JJ and JT reacted to. I enjoyed that as well. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Down to five. Paul still holding. Fights run a Capella screen on West. Another heave. Three! Hits again! I'm not even sure he could see the rim on that one. A running three for Chris Paul is good. Incredible. 81-77 Houston.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Chris Paul was awesome. Back-to-back games for him in which he has been the catalyst for the Houston Rockets. And we now await word on his status. He had to limp off the court. It took him a long time, actually. Right hamstring injury. He received extensive post-game treatment, according to reports. Didn't leave the Toyota Center until midnight Houston time, which would have been just not even 90 minutes ago. It's a quick turnaround. We're not talking about 3 or 4 days in between games. We're talking about a Saturday night, game six at Oracle has turned into Roracle. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. One of my favorite things about this game, because I like them both, JJ and JT sitting next to each other like peas in a pod, courtside for game five in Houston. And TNT got the bright idea to show their reaction every time something big happened on the court. It was kind of fun. Apparently, Justin Timberlake played Toyota Center last night, so it would have been Wednesday night. At least this is what I understood. And he's playing again on Friday night, so it got interrupted by the Western Conference Finals. Unlike hockey, where they had to push a game to accommodate him in Nashville, this time he had to wait until the Toyota Center was vacated. Those two guys are they're just so much fun. And to see them next to each other, and J.J. Watt could squish J.T. like a bug. But still, to have that kind of star power on your sidelines, I don't know. Houston, you're the place to be. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. What were the moments that stood out to you from this game number five? And also, are you ready to admit, whoopsie, I jumped the gun maybe on Warriors in five or Warriors in six, or because that can't happen, or Warriors and Cavaliers heading to the NBA Finals like they'd done the three previous years? 855-212-4227. That's our phone number. 855-212-4227. So, yes, the Chris Paul injury is a big deal, just like the Andre Iguodala injury is a big deal. Obviously, casting a major pall over things for the Warriors, a big reason why they did not win these last two games, but not the only reason. Chris Paul, as I say, has had two really good games in which he's been tough. He showed that craftiness, that cleverness, and also that leadership. He may not be as fast as a Steph Curry. He may not be as lightning quick as or even have the same handles as a James Harden. He may not be able to cross you over to the point where you fall down anymore. However, this guy is still one of the best guards, one of the best point guards in the NBA, and he has shown it in the last two games. And so for him, for that injury, that's the major question right now. And Mike D'Antoni said after that he was worried. So he received treatment, and now he's got a quick turnaround. We'll see how he can go against Golden State coming up on Saturday. But some of the other moments that were huge, Eric Gordon with another late clutch triple and also defense. So when you look at these two teams over the course of the regular season, they were the highest scoring teams in the NBA. I talked about this before the series tipped off. Warriors averaged just under 113 points per game, or right around 113 points per game in the regular season, and the Rockets were a point less per game. And so the fact that in the last two games, you've had Golden State struggle so mightily and James Harden struggle so mightily, the defensive intensity has really picked up. And in fact, the Rockets got some timely threes when they needed them, but they didn't shoot great from three-point land either. And so here we're starting to see what really characterized the NBA playoffs when I was cutting my teeth on basketball, and that is challenging everything. Intensity and this desire, this heart, this work ethic that shows through on the defensive end. And through the course of this game, the Rockets forced a lot of turnovers by the Warriors. And that's always their Achilles heel, their demon, if you will. And so they were facing these demons throughout game number five. And to see the way that the Warriors, Draymond Green specifically, fumbled that last possession, I mean, that to me was this game in a nutshell. Because no matter what the Warriors did well, they kept fumbling away their opportunities to win the game. And I do mean that. This ball literally bounced off his leg.
Here's Steph, catches in the backcourt, throws ahead to Draymond. Draymond fumbled it away. He lost it. Gordon's got it. And Draymond fouls Gordon with 2.4 to go.
And there you go.
And that is that.
Tim Roy and Jim Barnett on the Warriors radio networks are very matter of fact. There you go. And that, again, in a nutshell, is what the Warriors did most of this game. Fumbled the ball away. Every time it seemed like they had an opportunity to put a run together, turnover, steal, bad pass, and then just a lot of shots that were clanging off the back of the rim. So they have looked out of sync offensively now for five quarters, and I give the Houston Rockets major credit for that. However, there is still a lot of confidence with Golden State, which I wasn't expecting post-game.
I feel great about where we are right now. And that may sound crazy, but I feel it. I know exactly what I'm seeing out there. And we defended them beautifully tonight. We got everything we needed. Just too many turnovers, too many reaches. And if we settle down a little bit, we're going to be in really good shape.
The way we've played the last two games, we played good enough to win and just haven't got the job done. So going home game six, the way we play tonight, if we can repeat that, take care of the turnovers, just stay, you know, mentally locked in on the details for 48 minutes, we know we can get a win.
So there's confidence in the Warriors locker room, but shouldn't there also be the same confidence in the Rockets locker room? Because they've reduced their rotation down to 6.5 guys. James Harden has missed his last 20 three-point attempts. His last 20 shots from deep have been no good, no bueno. And yet the Rockets have still won back-to-back games. And I love his answer when he was trying to, well, he was trying to navigate the questions about how poorly he shot offensively, how he's played the last couple of games offensively. He wasn't having it.
Who cares? Nah, I'm just missing shots. But we're winning, you know, and I'm trying to compete on the defensive end and do other things to, you know, help my team win. But if we got a guy like Eric Gordon making shots, you know, and being aggressive, you know, who cares?
How about that? James Harden says, who cares? So good. Good for you. That's because they're one win away from the NBA Finals. How neat would it be, kind of a cool synergy between hoops and hockey, if, just saying if, I don't know that it's going to happen, but if Chris Paul reaches his first championship series in his 13th year as a pro, the same time that Alex Ovechkin reaches his first championship series in his 13th year as a pro. I don't know. We might need to call it lucky number 13 for the grade eight for CP3. That's a possibility. I don't know that it's going to happen. There's a lot that's hanging in the balance now with some of the injuries, with the question marks, with going back to Oracle. I mean, the Warriors have been really good at home. I know they lost in game four, but that's the first loss at home in the postseason in 17 tries. I'm going game sevens, baby. Game sevens in both Boston and in Houston. What is the NBA Finals matchup that you'd most like to see? Because it's all there. It's all a possibility. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. Or on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Which NBA Finals would you most like to see? Coming up next, we'll spend some time in Houston, plus the two moments that I haven't even talked about yet that made me smile, laugh, maybe get a little bit teary.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Barnes still on the dribble. Shot clock down to six. Crosses over Curry. Comes into the paint. Goes to Gordon. Catches. Shoots a three. Got it! Eric Gordon drills another big three. 121 to go in game five. He did it again.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Eric Gordon has had a couple of late triples that have been huge for the Rockets in their back-to-back wins. After a 41-point blowout, they have back-to-back wins. One in Oakland and one in Houston, and now they are a win away from the NBA Finals. Woo! What a turn of events in the West. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Eric Gordon with 24 points off the bench, 9 of 10 on free throws. And as I mentioned, bench points, a major reason why the Rockets outlasted the Warriors in this one, but also their free throws. They were good at the charity stripe. You're going to give them those shots. You're going to give them those moments. Well, they were 27 of 32. And Steve Kerr noted afterwards that the Warriors weren't disciplined enough when it came to defense. He felt like they played good defense, but they got a little sloppy and they reached. And so they need to be more disciplined in those moments on defense. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. New poll up. What is the NBA Finals matchup that you most want to see? Because it's all on the table. We've got four potential all on the table that will come to bore and play out this weekend. We're pleased to welcome our former colleague, Matt Moore, who covers the NBA now for the Action Network and actionnetwork.com, joining us in Houston. Just on that one particular play-by-play bite from Craig Ackerman on the Rockets Radio Network, you can hear the crowd explode. What was it like inside the Toyota Center?
It was a really explosive atmosphere. You know, I think that this crowd has been kind of waiting to see whether or not this Rockets team was for real, especially after last year. Talking to some of the locals, that's been the sense is, you know, we want to believe, but after last year, it's tough. But I think they're bought in now, and they really sense that this is a moment where they might legitimately have the better team. And that's shocking considering what they're up against in these defending champion Warriors. But quite simply, in this series, it's become about, with enough strategic adjustments, it's become about who's been tougher mentally. And Houston has won that battle when I don't think a lot of people gave them a chance to do so. And now they really do have a serious chance of advancing to the NBA Finals, not on their shooting and not on James Harden's brilliance and not on, you know, the explosive offense of Mike D'Antoni, but on their mental toughness, which I think is a credit to how this locker room is put together.
Where did that come from?
I think a lot of it came from the new guys. I think P.J. Tucker's a big part of that. I think Eric Gordon was capable of this and is finding it. I think Chris Paul setting the tone is a lot of it. Is it's no excuses, very serious, very business-like, playing a mix of how D'Antoni gets guys to play with freedom and confidence, but also an edge. And they've got the edge in this series, and that's been evident for a team that's as good as the Warriors. They've been put on their heels by how intense the Rockets have been in both of these last two wins.
And yet we hear confidence from Steve Kerr, from Steph Curry, from Kevin Durant after this game, indicating it was all right there for us. It was there for the taking. We just didn't do it. When you see what the Warriors have done in the last five quarters, so going back to that double-figure lead they had to start the fourth quarter of game four, where they lose it on through this particular game where it felt like the offense was a struggle the entire time, do you see reasons for confidence?
I see some. You know, Draymond Green was very expressive post-game about, you know, we got some looks. We got the ball moving, and Steve Kerr opened his press conference by saying, I liked our ball movement tonight, and everybody's head shot up and went, wait, what? Like a German Shepherd. I think a lot of like they have these sequences, but overall, you know, they'll have a stretch where they play good offense, the ball is moving, they score, and then they go back to KD and ISO, and Kevin Durant in the last two fourth quarters is 1 of 9 from the floor. And they'll say, well, that's Kevin Durant, he's going to make those shots, but the Rockets know that's coming, and they're attacking mismatches that they think are positives because it's Eric Gordon or Chris Paul. And while those guys are smaller than KD, they're not giving up ground. He's not getting the spots he wants because they're strong enough to deter him. I think that's something that I think needs to be looked at. The Warriors are at their best when they're not trying to overwhelm you with ISO, when they're not trying to beat you one-on-one, when they're not trying to muscle you. This is not a tough, bullying team. This is a team with the most explosive offense maybe in NBA history, and they get further and further away from that. The biggest, I think, takeaway here is they're playing the series on Houston's terms right now, and unless that changes – even with the Chris Paul injury kind of looming over everything, there's a good chance the Warriors could actually lose, which is something that no one really thought was possible going in through most of the season.
Hey, don't include me in that. I wasn't willing to jump on this. Oh, it's a foregone conclusion again. I kind of feel like when we make predictions and we're so confident, that's when we set ourselves up for major falls. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Matt Moore is in Houston covering the NBA's Western Conference Finals for the Action Network. Matt, which injury do you feel like would have a greater impact, Andre Iguodala or Chris Paul, the loss of one of those two guys?
I definitely think Chris Paul. You know, Iguodala in the series has been good, but he's had long stretches where he's been ineffective. And the biggest key is, you know, honestly, that Hampton's five, whatever you want to call it, lineup that they go small with has really gotten smoked in this series when the Rockets have gone small. They've won that battle, and that limits what Iguodala can do. They've been better with Kevon Looney on the floor. Now, conversely, you know, Chris Paul means that you can't send more help at James Harden because Paul will hurt you with spot-up shots. It's another guy to take the burden off Harden, who's already clearly gassed, who's very exhausted. So I think, you know, Paul's absence really could wind up tilting the series, which would be a shame. And we're just going to have to wait and see how long he's going to be out and what the impact's going to be.
What is the latest with Iguodala?
I think it's very likely that he plays game 6. It seemed like they thought, okay, we can maybe steal this one in Houston and set it up if great, because they know that like we're going to need him in 6 and 7. He was listed as questionable. There's some indicators that it was close to happening today. Steve Kerr was optimistic. He was a late scratch. I think it's very likely that with another 2 days off, Iguodala plays in game 6 in Oracle.
Mm. It's interesting because at the end of the Eastern Conference Finals, game number 5, there was talk about not just LeBron, but about that team being tired. And then at the end of game 4, Steve Kerr said his guys ran out of gas and he felt like they were exhausted. You've got two teams with relatively short benches. I know Kerr tried more combos tonight, but really not a whole lot. I mean, the bench wasn't able to come through with a ton of minutes. Did they look tired to you? Because the offense has been out of rhythm.
I think the Rockets are tired. I'm not sure the Warriors were as much. I think they're fatigued in terms of the physicality that Houston's bringing in the matchup, but I think Houston is really gassed. And I think we're seeing that with James Harden having missed his last 23-pointers. We're seeing that with the shooting percentages. I think a lot of what's happening with the Warriors is self-inflicted with the turnovers and then constantly putting themselves in ISO situations where they're not on the move. This team is way better when they're catching and flowing and getting in rhythm. This is not a team built of guys that can just, you know, get the rock and hammer it time and time again. That's where Houston, I think, is better. But they're even shorter on their rotation than Golden State is. So they're, you know, I think as exhausted. I think James Harden in particular is really feeling it. I think the Warriors are tired in the series, but I also think that they're doing a lot to self-inflict. We'll see if they're right and if they really think that they can take game things that they got in this game and carry them forward, or if they keep trying these same ISO matchups that take them away from what they do best.
Yeah, the shooting, as we talked about, I felt like the shooting in the fourth quarters of both of these games has been a lot more ISO, and it's just been awful. It's been clanging off the back of the rim. I feel like I can hear that sound in my brain, the shot after shot just clanging off the back of the rim. Hey, did you get your selfie with JJ and JT, Matt Moore?
I did not. I tried to get in there to sneak one in, but I was not able to. I'll have to be sneakier next time.
It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. What stands out to you from the Eastern Conference Finals?
Honestly, it's just amazement that this Cavs team is still in this thing with how just much of a wreck that roster is. Kyle Korver at 37 years old is legitimately the second or third best player on that team right now. Like, the fact that LeBron is dragging this thing there, and you saw, I think, in that game five that, you know, LeBron can't have off game. He had an off game in game six, and that was it. He had the feel out game, quote unquote, in game one, and they got housed. This is a lot of what it comes down to, is LeBron has to absolutely drag this team, and I am wondering how much further he can go and if he can really drag the team further. If they go cold, if their offense doesn't show up, the Celtics can finally maybe win a road game. But that's really the question, right, is that the Celtics, you know, role players shoot better at home, and the Cavs have to get their offense going, so that leans in their direction. And for the Celtics, they're almost entirely made of role players because of their injuries. And so that's why they struggle on the road. And this is really becoming the very movable object in the Cavaliers versus the very stoppable force in the Boston Celtics offense.
And yet you're more surprised by the Cavs than you are by the Celtics being here?
I think I'm surprised that they got past the Sixers. I am surprised that the Celtics are here. I'm impressed with them. I think Jason Tatum, what he's doing, that's amazing. That's incredible. That's mind-blowing. For him to have had this performance as a rookie is simply extraordinary. But at the same time, you know, we expect better things out of LeBron James-led teams. And quite frankly, this team just isn't very good. And still they're in the Eastern Conference Finals with a chance to go to the finals because LeBron is simply that great. It's a weird contrast.
It is so far, and all the possibilities are still out there. Four different combos that we could see for the NBA Finals. You can follow Matt on Twitter at Matt Moore, TAN. He's now with the Action Network and actionnetwork.com covering the NBA and joining us for a few minutes from Houston. Thank you so much. Enjoy the series.
Anytime, Amy. Thanks so much.
I just love the fact that it's not as Matt underscores. It's not going the way that many people thought it might. And many people who believe they were validated after game three. We're talking about the West here with the 41-point blowout, in which just it looked like a freight train, an avalanche coasting downhill, picking up speed, threatening to completely wipe out the Houston Rockets. One moment that I really want to point out that I feel like was important, and we knew this was coming because Chris Paul had alluded to it after game four. Both the Rockets ownership as well as the fans there inside the Toyota Center did a great job honoring the victims, the first responders, the medical personnel who were part of the Santa Fe High School shooting that happened last week. And I thought it was awesome the way that you had the 300 seniors from that high school who were up in one of the upper sections, and they were highlighted and they were screaming and they were yelling, and they have an opportunity for joy there just to, for a moment, to not to forget, but for a moment to put it aside and to just be high school seniors again, be getting close to their graduation without the impediment of everything that happened and life or death staring them in the face. And so I thought that was really neat. It's a school that's only 30 miles from Houston. So for them to have the opportunity to be honored, to be in the spotlight there, along with the first responders, good job by the Houston Rockets, the ownership, and the Toyota Center to make sure that was first priority. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.